Well, in the last class, we finished up chapter 2 of Colossians. It's kind of a review over some things. What did we see in the first chapter of Colossians? Was there anything that kind of stood out in that chapter? Maybe some words in our markings that might have stood out, or okay. So we saw, was there some similarities and maybe some of the things we marked as far as what we saw in Ephesians? Any words like in Christ and
mystery?
Okay, mystery. We saw some of the different things like that, the mystery, the gospel, the truth. Different things like that.
Walk in a worthy manner.
Okay, walk in a worthy manner.
I think in chapter 1 there, it's talking about in Him. You know, like in Ephesians, it's the spiritual blessings in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's a little bit different approach, but it's in Him in chapter 1. We see the preeminence and the glorified, the Christ, you know.
Okay.
And that's why that we should, walk worthy of Him because of who He is.
Okay. So we see. Also, I think was it in chapter 2? I believe chapter 2 is where we see the idea of that. Well, like Rocky even prayed that we're complete. We're complete in Christ. Why would that be important? What are some of the things that we've seen we're going to see more of that they were running into?
Well, we had people teaching just the opposite.
Okay.
Influencing them for the bad.
Okay. So possibly that they didn't have a complete knowledge, or that there was other knowledges, and there was different things that they were battling there.
You know, modern philosophy, of course, that ascetic Gnosticism, and those kinds of things.
Okay. Okay, so we saw those things introduced. Was there any other thoughts or comments on chapter 1 or 2 before we go into 3? Did Rocky?
I just wanted to comment that on this Gnosticism, the ascetic Gnosticism. They believe that you had to, you know, limit your body, could enjoy your body. And if you did that, you were able to obtain different levels of knowledge. And there'd be some mysteries that you don't know about that you, once you're able to treat your body that way, that you would start to be able to know. And so, you know, it's interesting that Paul talked about the mysteries. Well, this Gnosticism also had the mysteries, but you had to do the abasement of the body before you were able to have that, be able to have special knowledge and obtain different levels of it and know some mysteries that you didn't know.
Oh,
like there was some hidden stuff that you didn't know about. Well, and that's why we see this thing about being complete in Christ. You don't need any of that, as Paul was trying to tell them.
Okay. Good comment.
It kind of sounds like some of the things I hear when I'm driving my bus, you know, people riding, they talking, they say this, they say that, and it sounds kind of like the idea about the, you got to have the whole indwelling, the Holy Spirit, you got the Spirit's going to guide you, you know, you got the same kind of idea there, for the guiding, you know, when people are drawn away in false doctrine, it seems like it's got to be something that other people don't have, you know, and you can get it if you got this, you know.
Okay. Like Rocky had spoke of this idea that, you know, you abstain from things or you do things a certain way. Does that kind of possibly contradict some other things that we know about as far as what things that, let me get my brain working here, what I'm trying to say. What about blessings? What about things that we have that God has blessed us with in this life? Aren't we to enjoy them? The husband and wife relationship, because isn't that one of the things that they they used. So we see different things that, although they were calling this, and one of the verses even says that it seems to be, you know, religious, or that's not the term that he used. But
it's self-made religion.
Okay.
It says that
in the last verse. Okay. So we can see where some of this stuff, the very things that they're using to say that they're doing this for God, are some of the very things that we know that we're supposed to enjoy. Were there any other thoughts or comments, or?
I thought it was really interesting that he makes the same contrast about this is what you formerly did.
Okay.
This is what you should do now.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So you see a lot of the, well, I say a lot, you don't, it didn't say it as much as Ephesians does, but that's a similarity. Yes, ma'am, the former way of life, and this is your new way of life. You used to do these things, and now you need to do these things. And when it does that, it also gives us some specifics, not limited to those specifics, but some specific things that we don't do and specific things we do do.
Another thing that they could have been bombarded with was, you have done this. Just like the Jews, they were Israelites, and they thought just because they were Jews that they had an in with God, you know. And so I thought it quite interesting when he said, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that even though you have these blessings and everything, he wants you to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. But there's that little word if in verse 23, that if you continue in the faith. And so, you know,
so it's conditional.
Yeah, it is. It's conditional. And we have to constantly be checking ourselves and continuing in the faith if we want these blessings, instead of just thinking, you know, Jesus did all this, and yes, we once believe, and so we're just, you know, we're clear.
Right.
You know,
just riding along, yeah.
It's interesting, you know, the first 2 and 3 talks about the true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ, in whom all men are hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then it talks about persuasive arguments that others are going to make, and then it goes into and it winds up with the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement. So you see the contrast at the beginning of the chapter with the true knowledge of God, of God's mystery, Christ, and how that everything is in Christ, all wisdom and all knowledge is in Christ. But be careful of that no one delude you with these persuasive arguments, and then he encourages them and instructs them about avoiding that, and says these are matters which have to be sure of the appearance of wisdom.
Yes.
And you tie that back with that persuasive, and it's a pretty tight little package.
That's the part I was trying to think of. Appearance of, I knew there was appearance of wisdom.
it pulls it all together to say, you know, you can be careful that you're not deluded, but the true wisdom of God is in Christ. It sets up a good contrast from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter.
Okay, good comment. Any other comments or thoughts? Okay, well, let's go into chapter 3 then. I think, does everybody have chapter 3? Did I give everybody? Okay. I thought everybody had one, but I wanted to double check. So what could you say was the theme of chapter 3? What are some things possibly, well, that stood out to you?
Character of the elect of God.
Okay. And they talked about also the very thing you were just talking about, it referenced this old and the new. Okay, the relationship with God and the way that they and or we should live. Did you have Rocky?
Yeah, just I normally try to do when I read all this thing, I try to find kind of the key phrase that kind of let's have your walls around.
Okay.
And it's, I think it's on 3:1. You know, see, you know, if therefore we've been made complete, chapters 1 and 2, what we do is keep seeking things above. So then it gives the specifics.
Okay. Any other comments or thoughts? Or okay, so we see here in chapter 3 that it, like Roger said, it starts off, therefore if. Therefore if you have been raised up with Christ. And I put, what does this mean? Well, what's it talking about, if you've been raised up with Christ? Okay. 2:12. Okay. You've died to sin. 2:12 said, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we see this, it describes our relationship.
New life.
Okay, our new life, our relationship with him.
I put down chapter 2:13. We covered that, that when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of the flesh, he made you alive together with him, having okay. forgiven us all of our transgressions.
Okay.
Go back to Romans chapter 6 again. It draws a lot of parallels from verses 2 through 5.
We're going to hit Romans 6 in here in just a minute. that's a good verse. we're going to hit it in just a minute. So, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, what should this cause? Where should our focus be?
Set our mind on things above.
Okay. Set our mind on things above. Let's see, what did the footnote say? Be intent on, I think, was also what the footnote says. So if you're setting your mind on the things above, you're not setting your mind on what? The things that are of the earth. Now verse 5 reminds us that our relationship to God calls for a certain lifestyle. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So, where we started in verse 1, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, for you have died. So this relationship we have with God, we haven't physically died, have we?
No.
Okay. So let's go, now we're going to go over to Romans 6.
It's conditional. It's conditional, yeah.
Okay.
Upon your spiritual chained heart, you died in all of Christ, put away the glory things.
Okay. We're going to see, when we read Romans, we're going to see some of these things that we've kind of been touching on. And I think, because several of y'all have already brought up that verse. And I think there's quite a bit that we can gain from this. I'm going to read in Romans 6, I'm going to actually read the first 12 verses. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. So we see some of these things that we've looked at in some of the other chapters and some of the things we're going to bring about as we go further in chapter 3. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. We see that also here in verse 5. It's members of your earthly body dead too. And then it gives us some specific characteristics. So what were some of the specific characteristics that were to be dead to?
Immorality.
So do not let sin control your life.
Okay. So we don't let sin control our life. What are some of these specific sins that it says immorality or impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry? So the first word, immorality, we know is talking about sexual immorality, because we see that these words are kind of linked in thought. And your footnote might say fornication. So we see this idea of sexual immorality. Then impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. We know that greed, a lot of times people think of greed, they think of money, but greed is just excessive desire. And then it goes on to say, which amounts to idolatry. And which your footnote might say literally is idolatry. So one way you might think of it as doing these things is not serving God, and possibly the idea of greed that this thing you're doing is your God. I mean, you're serving it. It's what you possibly could be living for, and it possibly could be ruling you. Any comments or thoughts or?
You know, these things are built on one another.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, one thing leads to another. So, really, the idolatry is this sensual, sexual desire that rules your life.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure that back in their day, with all the idolatry and the temples and everything that were around, the fornication as part of the worship and
right.
Everything and idol worship. Was greatly, you know, impressed on these people.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I'm sure, you know, that's one of the reasons that Paul probably addressed it.
Because it's something they might have been part of or in.
I think it's important to realize, too, when it says dead, just to these things,
mm-hmm.
It can be a little bit dead.
Right.
I mean, it's all of it. It's these aren't to be in your life at all.
Right.
It's not a matter of, well, these are.
I'm going to pick this one and that one.
And you know, when you and the word "dead" to these things is a pretty strong word. When we think of dead, it's you're not coming back.
Right.
It's not a matter of, well, I'll be dead today, but then tomorrow I'll do what I want to do, and I can be dead again later. I mean, it's you're to be dead to these things.
Well, that's what
can be a little bit dead.
Right. That's a good point. And that's one of the things that I've noticed in then, well, in this chapter also, you know, this idea that you see as far as, my brain went blank, hang on. It'll come back here in a second.
Well, they didn't have cars and TVs and a lot of things we had to take pull us away, but still, whatever they had things that were pulling away. You know, maybe it was a desire for possession of property or somebody else's goods or whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, whatever age, whatever period we're living in, there are always things that can pull us away and things that can we can set up as idols instead of worshiping God, but worship these things, desire these things. Well, I mean, the idea of being able to obtain or possess these things.
Okay. Well, and what I was about to say a while ago when I forgot was also you see here, because you'll see clumps of ideas of like this where it's pretty much like Linda said, it's building on one specific thing. And you might see other, and it's not limited to this book. We see that in other books where it's describing things that we shouldn't do. It might give some specifics, but it's not limited to these specifics. But basically what it's saying, it's talking about sin. You know, these are things that are against God and things that we shouldn't be a part of. So, although as we read verses, we see specifics, I think in general it's talking about, you know, sin. You see the idea a lot of times, these things or stuff like that, where it's giving you an idea specifically maybe at that point, but I think it encompasses other things.
Spirit was good, wasn't he? Be able to foresee and, you know, cover general areas and, you know, not just be specific.
I think it's interesting the wording of slander. Slander is actually illegal in today's world. You cannot slander someone.
Okay.
But I think he's talking more specific. I mean, don't speak negative of people. Don't say things about people that aren't true. Don't say negative things. And I think oftentimes we get caught up into that. You know, we find out someone's doing something, we're like, oh, it's not gossip because it's truth. But should it be told anyways? You know?
Now, which was there? The slander, was that?
I continued.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. No, that's fine. I didn't know if maybe you had a different version. That's
no. Oh, that's, I continued on to verse 8.
Okay.
I'm the one who has a different version.
I know.
My concordance actually defines malice as mischief.
Mischief, okay.
You know, we also oftentimes relate mischief with a little child who's putting their hands into things they ought not. We can be guilty of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Too penal. Being too much of a nosy rosy.
Well, verse 6. Verse 6 says, For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And like I've kind of already mentioned, as we'll see in a minute, these things is not just referring to the specific things in verse 5, but this certainly includes the things from verse 5. So we see the idea the wrath of God will come because of these things. So we see these things are sin. The wrath of God will come upon those that choose to live a life of sin. Verse 7 says, "And in them you also once walked when you were living in them." So what's it talking about? When were you living in them? Are we living in them? What's it talking about?
When they were apart from Christ.
Okay. Apart from, so their old life, they're apart from Christ. Okay. So, but now, you also, it says, put them, talking about these things, put them aside, because that's, you know, you're not part of that anymore. You're you're to live different now. You have a different life, a different purpose. What specific things are listed in verse 8 that are not to be a part of our life?
Well, he heads with anger.
Okay.
Which a lot of times, all the things that he lists after wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech follow anger.
Okay.
When you're angry, so these, you're more tempted to do those other things.
Okay. So these two could be, again, we see the idea of some
building
on and linked thoughts or what? Okay. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, going back to Colossians, about what you said just then. It says, but now also put these things out of your life: anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt others, and using evil words when you talk. Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before. If you have begun to live in the new life in which you are being made new and are becoming like the one who made you, this new life brings you to true knowledge of God.
Okay, so we see that idea that they're not supposed. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. So not to do this anymore because of your relationship with God, and you know we have to change. We have to make change.
Which to me, Craig, you know, we were talking about seeking the things above. That the last verse talking about the image of Christ and the image of one who made you. It's the things that imitate, you know, it's not clouds and angels and, you know, and all that kind of stuff above, not even heavenly things. It's talking about the character and the image of God in Christ that we're supposed to imitate.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's the things above, the things that he has is set out for us and the example that he set for us.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Or?
I see in love when she's talking about that. I mean, yeah, we're sure. Is it love? You got to add, you know. We should be striving toward that goal.
Okay. Is it raining or something? Oh, that's the air conditioner out there. Verse 9. We see in verse 9 this idea is kind of again building on it, even includes lying. Do not lie to one another, since, and then it says, since you laid aside the old self, the evil practices. Again, we see this reasoning behind these things that you don't do it because, you know, you're not that kind of person anymore. These things are things that are against God and they're things that aren't good. So that's where to lay them aside. And then ideas that we see like put on. So we see these in throughout the Bible, the idea of, because we look at some in Ephesians as well, you lay aside or you put off and then you put on, you know. So the idea of the contrasting things. One is the old and the other is the new.
Kind of metamorphosis.
Okay. So, since we laid aside these things or the old practices, we're not to take part in them anymore, like Gary was saying. You know, you don't just say, well, I'm gonna lay aside this thing because, well, I didn't do that much anyway, so I can lay this thing aside. But I don't know about this thing over here, you know. We have to focus. So we see in verse 9, contrast of old and new. We lay aside and we put on. Lay aside the old, no longer a part of that, and put on the new. These things refer to these kinds of things that are sinful and are things that a child of God doesn't or shouldn't practice. I put on here 1 Corinthians 6, let's look over there for a second. Verses 9 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So we see, I just wanted to use this as an example. We see in other verses some of the same ideas. We see things that describe, like even in here, it says, such were some of you. These are things that, if this is your characteristics, then it says, it starts off saying that these won't inherit the kingdom of God. But we also see in here that this is something that can be overcome. So, because it says, you know, such were some of you. So that means that they're no longer this. So we see that similar idea there. So we would have to look through God's Word to grow and have a better understanding of what these things can include. So that really, to me, just means anything that would be against God's will. Now, I put on here that this does not mean that we are not, or we are no longer... I'll be able to speak here in a minute. This does not mean that we are no longer capable of sinning. We do sin. But we are not to live a life of sin. There's a difference. let's look over at 1 John for a minute. First John 1:6-10 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we see sin is no longer our way of life. We are not to live a life of sinfulness. We may fall short. But if we do, because of our relationship with God and our striving to live in accordance to His ways, striving to live for Him, keeping His commandments, we have an advocate with the Father, an intercessor. The next page over says, oh, no. That's not, I don't want 1 John there. I think I want John. Yes, I do. 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And as we were looking at some of the things in Romans 6, let's jump over there again for a minute. I think we've read up to 12. You look at Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we see some of these thoughts there. Are there any thoughts or comments? Or
in the last part of that month, the Bible says, sin will not be your master because you are not under law, but under God's grace.
Under God's grace, okay. And that was in the Romans 6:14, right, you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 14.
Under God's grace, okay.
John puts it in 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. So, you know, if we align ourselves the way Jesus and live the life, be alive in Jesus and everything, the evil one will not touch us. You know, but it's keeping ourselves there. And just like you said, Jesus' blood cleanses us, you know, because we're in him, but we will sin sometime, but we won't be in that life of sin if our eye is on Jesus.
Okay. And, you know, I think about some of the, when we looked at in one of our classes, this mine went blank again. It'll come back. Was there any other thoughts? It's been a rough day. Another thought, okay.
Shows you're doing a lot of thinking.
Sir?
Shows you're doing a lot of thinking.
I think I burned a fuse.
I'm really
going to
put the breaker back on.
I know. Well, it was a thought I was having just in that comment of Linda's. That's a comment. But I don't remember where I was going with it. So we'll move on. If it comes back, we'll address it.
I don't see how people can take up the doctrine of Calvinism on, you know, that grace just covers everything. You know, you don't have to do anything. You can sin, but if you're really saved, you know, God's just going to overlook it. You know, this is totally opposite of that. You've got to put it on, off, and, you know, put on and lay it aside and not let sin rule your life.
Okay.
I've talked to Baptists before, and they just don't read. They don't know.
Okay.
They don't.
Well, that's...
I mean, you can talk to a very versed, well-versed Baptist, and they still don't know. And what they do study is straight out of man's hand, not God's. They read...
Okay.
My grandparents are prime examples. They read nothing but commentaries.
Oh, really?
They have the Bible open about 10 feet away. And they have the commentary, and everything they refer to is, well, the commentary says this about this in the Bible.
Well, what I was thinking of a second ago was this idea of growth, because we looked at in the past this idea of how we are to grow. And as we're looking at now, that's the very thing, reading, studying, these different ways that we can do to grow. But we need to be growing, of course, based out of this. But in connection with that, when we're talking about sin, do we know necessarily all of our sins? How do we better understand what sin is? Because we're only going to better grow in the knowledge of what sin is to God if we're searching and we're growing in His knowledge. That's the only way we're going to have a better understanding of what sin is. And as we come to that, that's where we have to know, hey, I'm not supposed to have a part in this. And we put it away. So we see this idea of that we can grow. Growth is good for many reasons, because we can grow in a sense where it's going to show us our own sin, or possibly things of that. Or because if I say that I don't want to sin, then I need to better understand what I might be doing. So growth is going to help me better live my life in that way, and it's going to help me be more capable of helping other people. Yes, sir?
The easiest thing is to say, hey, you're wrong. Hardest thing to say, hey, I might be wrong.
Pointing to yourself, it's hard.
First, you know, yeah. I mean, what, how did you just talk about the motive being?
Okay. Good point. Did you have a point, Mr. Kirk?
We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. How do we reconcile with God? And she was saying that.
We're talking about, well, the blood of Christ is.
Well, He's just going to forgive us.
Well, no. Well, you have to. Well, we know if we're knowing of sin, of course, we've got to repent of it and ask for forgiveness. I don't know exactly how you can ask for forgiveness of a sin that you don't know that you're committing. That's a good question. Is that what you mean?
No.
No? Okay.
Sin that you do.
Oh, yeah. Sin that you know that you're doing.
And under the law, you wouldn't have had that favor of God. I think it had been more strict under the law. But now that we're not under the whole law, I think He would be... go to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness. They're sincere and so forth. I think He forgives.
Right, yeah. Yeah, as long as we're repenting, we're changing our life.
People have seen in the past that's gone through all their lives with this burden of sin on them when they could have been forgiven.
Right.
There's that example. There's example now, chapter number. Of a character who was praying for his children to be saved. Not for their sin, but he was praying that they even if they didn't know it, God would forgive them.
Forgive them, okay.
Remember that.
So, yeah, because I think we can, I mean, because definitely we can pray and ask for forgiveness that we do in ignorance. And, you know, but then again, that's where this growth comes in, because I still think we have a duty of better understanding what we should be doing.
Love God.
Thank you.
Yeah.